You have your Bible just for one moment. We're turning to 1 Peter, please. 1 Peter and chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2. And what a clear word of testimony that we heard. What a wonderful thing to hear about the transformation in a life. And thank God that the Lord is able and willing and ready to save. We're turning to 1 Peter chapter 2, please. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. 1 Peter chapter 2, and just one verse, and that is verse 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We live in a world tonight that is a world that is marked by messages. Around the world today, it has been estimated that there has been 18 billion text messages that have been sent. Sent by parents to children. Sent by husbands to wives. Around the world today, there's been 140 billion WhatsApp messages. 162 billion junk mail messages. 347 billion emails have been sent around the world just at the click of a finger today. The message that we have before us tonight is the most neglected, the most important, the most unwanted message that the world has ever heard. Some of the messages that have been sent around the world today, whether by text message or email, some of them have been short messages. Some of them have been long. Some of them have been sad. Some of them have been bad. Some have had the men and women that received them have made them glad. Some of the messages that people have read them. Some of the messages people have ignored them. Messages that have been received today, some people will treasure them. Others have trashed them. And yet this message that we have tonight, the message that changed Eddie's life, is the most powerful, most unique message that will ever fall upon mortal ears. The message of the gospel. I tell you, my dear men and women tonight, that if you're not saved, what you need tonight is not a doctor. What you need tonight is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's described in the Bible as God's gospel because God is the source of the gospel. It's described as the gospel of grace because that is the scope of the gospel. It's described as the gospel of peace because that's the security of the gospel. It's the glorious gospel. It's the everlasting gospel that will outlast all of the great regimes of humanity. That will outlast all of the great buildings that architects have erected. The everlasting gospel. Whenever the Lord Jesus himself went into the little synagogue in Nazareth, and the Bible says in Luke's gospel chapter 4 and verse 18, he turned to the scriptures that was before him, in the book Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, and he began to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor." That's the very message that Paul, that little man that was saved on the Damascus Road, that man that went breathing out threatenings and slaughter, and in one moment of time, his life was changed and transformed, and he was radically, radically changed, never to be the same again. It was a message that changed the man. That was the message that the Apostle Paul went into the city of Ephesus with. And Ephesus was the capital of Asia, the witchcraft capital of the world. It was there where they were into their dark arts. It was there where they were involved in what we would know today as the Ouija board and reading the stars, and they were infested by demonic power. And this little man went down without a banner, without a crusade, without a telephone, without a big committee behind him, but he went down into Ephesus with a message, and that was the message of the gospel. And you know what happened? Whenever he preached under the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, people were saved and changed and delivered. And my dear men and women, the gospel is still the same tonight. Hallelujah. And whether you're involved tonight in the power of the occult, no matter what you're involved in tonight, thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ, we were singing it this morning, he breaks the power of canceled sin and he sets the prisoner free. It was that message that Paul went down into Thessalonica with. That city that was given over to idolatry. Those men and women, and they bowed before idols that had ears but couldn't hear. Hands but they couldn't help. Eyes that they couldn't see. Lips but they couldn't speak. And whenever Paul went in and he preached with again the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, men and women that bowed before their idols, they were gripped by God. Paul said, ye turn from your idols unto the living God. What a transformation. I tell you, that's why Paul, whenever he was writing to those believers at Rome, he said, I am ready. I am ready to preach the gospel unto you that are at Rome also. He went on to say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We live in a world today where governments boast their power. We see men and women across the television and media, and they flaunt their power. I can do this. I have the power to manipulate that. But my dear men and women tonight, there's not one of them can save a soul or change a life. Thank God for the gospel. Thank God for this message that is old yet ever new. This message that is true. This message that is for you, this message that is received only by a few. The Lord Jesus said, enter in at the straight gate. For straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life. But few there be that find it. Few. Have you found it? Have you found it? I tell you, my dear men and women, that is the message of the gospel. Paul said to the believers at Corinthians, he said, God didn't send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of man's words. He wasn't to debate it. He wasn't to dilute it. He was just simply to declare it. And as he declared it, men and women were saved. It's a hidden message. Because he went on to say, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. For the God of this world is blinded, obscured, put in front of the minds of them that believe not, lest the light. And maybe you're here tonight or listening on the internet and you say, oh, that was wonderful what God did for Eddie, but I don't really see my need of being saved. I've been baptized. I don't really think I need to accept the Lord Jesus as my Savior. I've never murdered anyone. I was never in a loyalist pipe band. I never did the things that Eddie did. And my dear men and women tonight, no matter who you are, if you're thinking like that, I can tell you what is happening. The God of this world has blinded your mind. Paul went on to say, but the God who commanded the light to shine in darkness has shined into her heart. And my dear men and women, that's exactly what happened to Eddie. God commanded the light to shine in darkness. He didn't know what was happening. He didn't know what was happening in the sphere of the spiritual realm. All he knew, there was a need in his heart that had not yet been met. There was an appetite for reality. There was a hunger and a longing for something that this world could no longer satisfy. But God was at work. And I wonder tonight, is there someone in this meeting tonight and you can identify with that? You've tried the women, plenty of them. You've tried the drink, plenty of it. You've tried the drugs, plenty of them. And you sit here tonight and you maybe listen in your home and you say, oh, there has to be more than this. Thank God for the gospel. What is the gospel? Well, it can be summed up in two words. Jesus Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. Oh, I can tell you, He was the Son of God that became the Son of Man. He left the splendors of heaven and came down into the darkness of a virgin's womb. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. And the Lord Jesus Christ, while He was born in Bethlehem, He lived in Nazareth. As a young man of 30 years of age, when he went out into the ministry, He raised the dead, He healed the sick, He gave sight to the blind, He cleansed the leper, He fed the multitude. Every need that ever came before Him, He met the need. He was the sinless, spotless, harmless, crimeless, faultless Son of God. And they put Him on a cross. There on that Roman gibbet, suspended between heaven and earth, we read about it tonight, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree. I tell you, it was the innocent taking the place of the guilty. It was the Savior taking the place of the sinner. There was the pain that He endured. I can't begin to describe that to you tonight, my dear people. I can't begin to describe to you tonight what it must have been like for every bone to be out of joint. I can't begin to understand tonight what it was like to have His back like a plowed field. I can't begin to fathom what the pain must have been like when they put that crown of thorns on His head. They say there's more nerves in the top of a man's skull than any other part of his body. And they just didn't place it there. They put it there and then they beat it there. I can't begin to describe to you what it was like when they laid the hand that touched the leper, or the hand that broke the loaves, or the hand that raised Jairus' daughter, and they laid the hands out in that old Roman beam, and hark, I hear the dull blow of the hammer swung low. They are nailing my Lord to the tree, and the cross they upraise as a multitude gaze on the blessed Lamb of dark Calvary. I stood on a nail not that long ago, and I wouldn't have liked to stood on it again. But I can tell you, they put a Roman spike through His feet. There was not only the pain that He endured, I can tell you there was the price that He paid. He went down into the depths where there was no standing. And all the billows of God's wrath went over Him there. He paid a debt that Eddie could never pay. And on that cross, He paid a debt that I could never pay. And my dear unsaved tonight, He paid a debt there that you'll never pay. He paid a debt that you and I will never pay. Oh, yes, there was the pain that He endured. Oh, yes, there was the price that He paid. Oh, yes, there was the penalty that He bore. Who? His own self. Mary wasn't on the cross. Peter wasn't there. This is the Lord of glory. This is the one that spoke and it stood fast. His own self bare our sin in His own body. On the tree, oh yes, He became sin for us. who knew no sin, that we, reptile sinners of the dirt and dust, might be made the righteousness of God in him. Hallelujah. There was the pain that he endured, some pain. There was the price that he paid. Oh, there was the penalty that he bore, your hell, and condensed into 3 hours. And there the Father laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised. The word is, he was crushed for our iniquity. There was the blood that he shed. Oh, I tell you, I wonder who was the first one. Was it the scourge? Whenever they got the cat of nine tails and they started at the top of his shoulders and worked down to the back of the calves of the leg, and the first blow, you know what happened? There came royal blood for you. Ah, what a gruesome thing. The cross is not a nice thing. But the Lord Jesus wasn't dealing with anything nice. He was dealing with your sin. And that's not nice. Oh, he did what no other could do. He went where no other could go. He said what no other could say on the cross, the cry that reverberated round heaven and every avenue of hell. Tetelestai, paid in full, finished, the work is done. Heard a story many years ago of a man who was finishing a campaign in a tent. And he was taking down the tent pegs and taking down the ropes. And a young man that had been at the mission, he came to the minister, the preacher, and he said, Sir, I need to get saved. What do I do? And the man, he kept on tying up the ropes and pulling out the pegs. And the young man got him and he said, Sir, you told me that I need to get saved. What do I need to do? And he says, You're too late. You're too late. He says, But oh, sir, I know I need to get saved, and I know I should have done it the nights that you were preaching, but I want to get saved now. He says, Son, you're too late. There's nothing you can do. It's all been done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ah, then they took him from the cross. That limp form. And as we heard this morning, they wound him in clean linen cloth. Put him in a sepulchre where no man was ever laid. His enemies couldn't blame him. The Pharisees couldn't stand him. Pilate couldn't accuse him. The devil couldn't defeat him. Death couldn't take him. And the grave couldn't hold him. Because on the third day he rose again. Oh, I tell you, my dear men and women, with all of the power that was invested in the Son of God, with all the Roman seals that could have sealed it the whole way around, he came up from the grave. And he's a living Savior this evening and is able to save you and deliver you. And he's able to keep you. And you say, Stephen, how do you know? Because what he's done for me and what he's doing for me, he can do for you. Hallelujah. And that's why I love him, my dear people. Oh, he ever liveth. He's able to save to the uttermost them that come. And as he's sitting on the throne of glory, the risen, exalted Savior of the world, he gives an invitation. Come. You're not saved yet, son. Come. Come on to me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what the world can't give you. I will give you rest. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Lo, your sin be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Lo, they be red like crimson, they shall be white as wool. Come now, come, for all things are now ready. Can you hear him tonight? The price has been paid, the blood has been shed, the work has been done, but you need to come. You need to come. Because there's not only the reason for the gospel, there's not only the result of the gospel, there's the rejection of it. And if you die without Christ, my dear unsaved tonight, let me warn you of this, that you will die and go to hell. And I have absolutely no pleasure in telling you that. But you'll go down into a place where you're ever falling and you never reach the bottom. You're ever burning and you never burn out. You're ever weeping and you never run out of tears. You're ever wailing and you never lose your voice. You're ever tormented and you never find peace. There's no release there. There's no rescue there. There's no repentance there. And that's why he says, come now. The Bible says, and Peter says as we close, what shall the end be of them that obey not, the gospel? I was thinking of young David tonight. Just as I was praying over this meeting, David McKee from New Zealand. And I remember the night our brother Birdie and myself and a number Keith was there and many others were there. We were praying. And the door opened. And he came in. And he just said, oh, I've made a profession, but I'm not saved. And I'm not going to make another one, another empty profession. And he lay on that little floor of the taping room for maybe 2 or 3 hours. And me and our brother Bertie, we fired verse after verse to him. We prayed with him. But there was a young man that wasn't going to be badgered into conversion. He wanted the real thing. And for week after week, he would come and he would sit on the pew. He would hang his head and men and women would pray and God was working. He knew he wasn't saved, but he wanted it. And then on the 25th of June, 2023, down in the tent there in Junction 13, how we remember him staying after the meeting. And he said, Stephen, I want to get saved. I know I need to get saved tonight. I remember he went into the little tent, and I'll tell you what I told him. I said, David, I'm not going to pray with you. I'm not going to read with you, for you know more than what I know. I'm going to lock the gate, turn the lights out in the tent, and if you're not saved by then, I'm going to go home. And I went to the gate, turned the lights off in the tent. And I was walking towards the wee door of the prayer tent, and the canvas opened, and he ran out. You know what he said? Stephen, I'm saved. No eyes got saved. The gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first person he rang was her brother Bertie. Praise the Lord. Let me ask you tonight. Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you sure? Are you not sure? Who? Oh, see him now. Who his own self bear our sin, my sin, in his own body on the tree. Come. Come now. Say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin and I'm repenting, Lord. Turning from my sin, Lord. And I'm turning to you now in simple faith. And I'm asking you tonight, will you save me? And will you keep me? You know what'll happen? He'll save you in the very seat where you sit. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let us pray. Praise you, Lord. Every believer just lifting a prayer to the Lord tonight. If you're here in this meeting and you're not saved, you know what the Lord has been saying to your heart. My dear young person or older person, you come to get saved tonight. You ask the Lord to save you. Maybe you're in this meeting and you're not walking with the Lord. You come back to the Lord tonight. Father, we bow before Thee and we thank You for Your presence, Lord. We thank Thee for Your speaking voice. And we ask tonight in Jesus' name what You have done for Eddie, what You have done for David, what You have done for so many, Lord, in this hall tonight and for millions around the world. We ask that You would do it for another, Lord, that You will be glorified. Break the chains, Lord. Cleanse the stains. Bring them from darkness into light. We pray that You will command the light to shine in darkness, that your Son may be glorified and the Son of God would be exalted. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. We're going to stand to our feet and we're going to sing 309. 309. Will your anchor hold in the storms of life? When the clouds unfold their wings of strife, when the strong tides lift and the cables strain and the will strain, will your anchor drift or firm remain? We have an anchor that keeps the soul steadfast and sure while the billows roll. I'm sure you'll not shoot me tonight if we take time to sing the whole hymn, but we'll stand to your feet, and those that are saved, I want you to sing it, and I want you to pray it while you're singing it. And if you're not saved tonight, think of these words, my dear men and women, because you're going to see a storm the likes of you have never seen before, whenever the judgment and the wrath of God will fall upon you. Thank God there's a refuge tonight, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to help you. If you want a word with us after the meeting, stay behind and we'll pray. Don't be in any rush away, but let us rise to our feet, and we'll sing all of 309 together. The Lord. Okay, let's get ready to go. Surely hold in the floods of death, and that's coming. When the waters cold shall her latest breath, on the rising tide it can never fail, while her hopes abide within the veil. Verse 5.